This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
What have you done with the Word of God? Where that comes from is a parable that Jesus told, in which he talked about the word being spread and what happened when the word was spread. And he said that some of it was thrown into the ground and immediately the birds plucked it up. And then others were sown in a rocky place where it sprang up and looked good for a little while. But as soon as the sun came up, it was scorched and withered away. And then he said, other of it was sown among thorns. And it came up, but it got choked by the thorns, and it bore no fruit. But then he said, some of it was sown on good ground, and it brought forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. What Jesus is alerting us to is the fact that in the church, there are good plants that bear fruit, and there are some other kinds of plants. What are the other ones? Weeds. Amen? Weeds are worthless plants. And catch this, in the church, we've got some good fruit-producing plants, but we also got some weeds. What we want to do today is to find out what we need to do to make sure that we never fall into that category of weeds, but that we are one of the ones who is producing good fruit for God. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Here's how Jesus explained the parable that he gave. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. What is it that separates the good group from the rest? They bear fruit. They bear fruit. Jesus said these are the ones who bear fruit with patience. You see, fruit is the issue. God expects us to bear fruit. Look at Matthew 13, 23. This is another version of this same parable that Jesus told. And it gives us just a little bit more information. Matthew 13, 23. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. God is interested in fruit. How many of you work a job? Let's see. Amen. All right. Now, why did they hire you on that job? The reason they hired you on that job was not to give you a paycheck. Do you know that? They did not hire you in order to be able to bless you with a paycheck. No, what they hired you for is that you could produce more than you consume. In other words, because you work that job, you ought to be making more money for that company or that agency or whatever it is than they have to spend on you in salary and benefits. And if you are not making money for them, guess what? Your job will not last. Amen? In other words, what are they looking for? Fruit. They're looking for fruit. And if you do not bear fruit in your job, you can be doing a good job. You know that? You can be doing everything they ask you to do, and one day they still call you to the office and say, we are eliminating your position. Sorry. Why? You were not producing enough fruit. You were not making more than they were having to spend on you. And guess what? God says, I saved you in order not only that you might escape the fires of hell, but that you might produce fruit for the kingdom of God. And if you are not producing fruit, what are you? What's the technical term for a plant that does not produce any useful fruit? What is it?
A weed.
A weed. Hallelujah. God says, if you are not producing fruit for the kingdom, as far as he is concerned, you are a weed. Go over to Luke chapter 13. Look at verses 6 through 9. Luke chapter 13, starting with verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, what? You can cut it down. How many of you have been saved for more than 3 years? All right, amen. Now you see, the Lord gave that tree 3 years of fruitlessness, amen? After that, it said, man, you better produce or else. Praise God. See, God is serious about fruit. God does not have any desire for people who sit around in his church taking up space and bearing no fruit. So what we want to deal with today is what it takes for us to be sure that we are fruit bearers and not weeds. Well, first of all, let's ask this question. What kind of fruit does God want us to bear? What kind of fruit does God want us to bear? I brought along an example here. This is, of course, an orange. Now, what would make this orange a good piece of fruit? You'll notice something. If you look at the outside of it, this one don't look too good. Notice that? We have one at home that's nice and clear, you know, just totally orange color and nice and round and big. But you know what makes this one good? Priscilla bought me 4 of these. I've already eaten 2 of them. And you know what I found out? It tastes good. It tastes good. It's sweet. It's tart. It's good to eat. Now, the one we got at home, the big one that looks so good, you know what? You bite into those things and it's like biting into water. You ever get oranges like that? And pay good money for them, too. Amen. See, the fact that it looked good on the outside didn't mean a thing. Amen? When I look at fruit, I'm not concerned about how it looks on the outside. What am I concerned about? What's on the inside? Is there some good stuff on the inside? Notice something else. This thing has a label on it. Now, I've never figured that out. Why do you put labels on fruit? I don't even know what this label says. And guess what? I don't care. This label makes absolutely no difference to me and my enjoyment of this fruit. Amen? Now, a lot of us wear the label of Christian. We wear the label of Christian. And we go around looking good, you know. But you know what? The label doesn't mean a thing. If what's inside does not back it up, this label is meaningless. And so the first thing that we look for when we talk about fruit that's good fruit is what's inside of it. Is it sweet? Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. Let me show you what sweet fruit is like in the life of a Christian. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and self-control. You know what? That's the kind of fruit that God is looking for in our lives. Amen? That's what he's looking for on the inside of our lives. God is looking for fruit. But he's not looking for just any fruit. He's looking for fruit that's sweet on the inside. God wants you to be sweet. How many of you can look at yourself in the spiritual mirror today and say, Yeah, I'm sweet. Come on, let me see. I'm sweet. Hallelujah. Now, I know if I was to ask some husbands about wives and some wives about husbands, we might have some different answers here. Amen. But catch it. If I take this orange and stick a pin in it, the juice would come out, and then I could taste that juice, and the juice would be sweet. Amen? If I come up to you and stick a pin in you, will what comes out of you be sweet? Because understand this. As long as the peel is still on the orange, I don't know what's inside. Amen? I can't tell whether it's sweet or not. In order for me to understand whether this orange is truly good fruit or not, I've got to break through the peel. Now, I don't know how much oranges feel, but I have a feeling that it's not very comfortable to have somebody rip your peel off. Amen? But that's when you find out whether the fruit is sweet or not. In other words, God is going to allow us to go through some situations where somebody's going to stick us with a needle or somebody's going to rip the top off of something in our lives. And that's when you find out whether or not you're sweet. You can put up a good front when things are going well. Amen? Oh, yeah. You go to work and you just came from church on Sunday and it's Monday morning. You still feel in the spirit. Hallelujah. Go around singing praise songs all morning long. And then somebody gets on your nerves. Man, you sure forgot that song quick, didn't you? What comes out of you when somebody presses on you, puts the pressure on, sticks you with a needle, rips some hide off of you? What comes out? Are you sweet? Is it love and joy and peace and patience and kindness? Or would we have to say that underneath that good-looking surface, there's still some stuff that's not good fruit? First of all, God is looking for the fruit of righteousness in our lives. The fruit of righteousness that will come out when we're under pressure. But here's the second thing God's looking for. If I were to take this orange, and in fact, you know, today with all the technology that we have, they're able to breed fruits that are seedless. And so we have seedless apples and seedless oranges. These oranges have seeds in them. What's the purpose of the seed? The purpose of the seed is that this orange does not just exist for itself. It is also intended, God designed it, so that it can be the source of a whole new generation of oranges. Isn't that right? In our backyard, we have some cherry trees. They're wild cherry trees. I don't do a thing to cultivate them. But they bear cherries every year. And I've noticed something. When I get out there to mow the lawn, toward the end of the summer, there'll be these little sproutlings coming up under the cherry trees. And of course, you know, I take my lawnmower and just go zoop and whack them right down. But where do they come from? They come from the seeds, the pits of the cherries that were on that tree. The tree is trying to reproduce itself. That's the way God designed it. That's what it's supposed to do. If you're a good fruit-bearing tree, you will bear lots of fruit. And within that fruit, there will be the seeds to bear a whole new generation of your kind. God wants us to be fruitful, amen? That means, first of all, that we've got to be sweet inside with the fruit of the Spirit coming out of our lives, praise God. But not only that, if we are truly to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, there will be a new generation just like us coming up because of our lives. It is the fruit of reproduction that God is looking for. Go over to Matthew 13:23 again. Look at what Jesus is saying. Look at what God intends. Look at what this whole thing about bearing fruit is all about. Matthew 13:23. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. God is counting the seeds. Amen? God's counting the seeds. That's what it means to be fruitful for Him. Here's the test that we need to apply to ourselves. There's the questions that we need to ask ourselves to see if we are indeed fruitful or just weeds. Number one, what kind of fruit are you? What is different in your life because of the word that you've heard? Has the word made a difference in your life? Let me just ask this. If I were to take you back before you got saved, how many of you would say, man, before I got saved, I was pretty rough. You know, nobody would have called me sweet. Amen. All right. Now, ask yourself the question. Since you got saved, since you've been part of the Church of Jesus Christ, what's changed? What have you done with the word that you've heard? What impact have you allowed the word to have in your life? Remember that it's the word that produces the fruit. Amen? It's the word that produces fruit. And therefore, if you are truly fruitful, the word that you've been hearing ought to be having some impact in your life. Can you look at your life and see where you are different now from the way you used to be because the word of God is at work in your life? That's question number one. What kind of fruit are you? What have you done with the word that you've heard? Here's question number two. What kind of seed are you spreading? What kind of seed are you spreading? How many people are being influenced for Christ because of the testimony of your life? How many of you have people around you every day? You have people around you at work or at school or even in your home. People around you. Amen. All right? Just about everybody does. Catch this. We've talked about this. The particular people who are around you every day are not there by accident. How many of you have somebody that's around you every day or most of the time, and you would just as soon they be someplace else? Let me just see. Come on. Amen. Guess what? That person is not there in your life by accident. God has made divine appointments for you. And the one that you don't like, the one that gets on your nerves, the one that you wish would go find someplace else to be, is the one that God says, that's exactly the one that I need to be in your life right now to knock some of those rough edges off. Amen? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Well, how are you going to test peace if you don't have anybody trying to disturb your peace? Amen? How are you going to build patience if you don't have somebody that's getting on your last nerve? How are you going to develop kindness if there's not somebody in your life who does not deserve your kindness, but the word says you be kind to them anyhow? Amen? See, God has put people in your life for a purpose. You are to have an impact on the people who are round about you. It is not by accident that they are there. And therefore, the question that you need to ask yourself is, what kind of seed am I sowing among the people that God has put around about me? What kind of testimony do I have? Remember that your testimony is not built in the good times. Your testimony is not built in the easy times. When everything's going well, the unbeliever looks just as good as the believer. Amen? Everybody can handle good times. No, your testimony is built when things are not going the way you want them to go. When people are not acting the way they're supposed to act. When the situation it seems to be getting out of control and you don't know how to handle it. That's when your testimony will be tested. What kind of seed are you spreading? What kind of testimony would the people around you see from your life? Are there going to be more Christians coming up because of the influence of your life? Because people in your office, in your school, in your place of business, wherever you go every day, because they know you are a Christian, is that going to draw them closer to God? Or is somebody going to be saying, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one? Have you ever known somebody like that? Big time Christian. But you had to say to yourself, if that's what a Christian is, don't want to be one. I've shared this story with you before because it has such a big impact on me. When I was in Colorado working for IBM, we had a man who came from Denver every day. He was a deacon in a Baptist church in Denver. And he was so proud of being a deacon. He was always talking about being a deacon in his church. Oh, he would, I mean, you meet him. Almost the first thing he said to you, I'm Deacon Jones. Amen. Now, when he wasn't talking about being a deacon, this man had the foulest mouth I've heard on anybody. And of course, you know, the Christians are going, please, Deacon, just be quiet about it. Either shut up your mouth or stop talking about being a deacon. When people see your testimony, is it going to draw them nearer to God? Is it going to make them more likely to be born into the kingdom of God, to become a reproduction of the believers that God is trying to raise up? Or is it something that's going to push them away and say, if that's what being a Christian's all about, I don't need that. And remember, it's not in the good times that that test will be made. It's in the times when you are under pressure. It's in the times when you are under stress. It's in the times when somebody is pushing at you, deliberately testing you to see how you're going to take it. That's when you find out whether you're bearing fruit or not. That's when you'll find out what kind of fruit you are. When they push on you until your skin breaks, that's when we'll find out what kind of juice is inside. What does it take to bear fruit for God? Go over to Luke chapter 8. Start with verse 5. This is the story that Jesus told, the parable. And I want you to look at some terms that he used in here. Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 5. What's the key issue in whether or not we bear fruit for God? A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. In verse 6, some fell on rock. In verse 7, and some fell among thorns. And verse 8, but others fell on good ground. And the ones that fell on good ground are the ones that sprang up. Catch it. The variable here is not the seed. It was all the same seed. The variable was what? The soil. The ground. Amen? It's the ground that the seed was put into that determined what kind of crop was going to come up. Priscilla did a garden last year. And you know what we did? We actually went out and bought dirt. We bought dirt. Why? Well, because we needed good dirt. Amen? We needed fertile dirt. And the plain old garden variety dirt we already had didn't fit the bill. So we had to go out and purchase dirt. Why? Because the soil makes a difference. It's the soil that makes the difference. The seed of the word of God is the same. I'm here today sharing the word with you. Understand this. It will bear fruit in some of your lives, and in other lives, it will just go zip right past you. The devil's going to pluck it right out. Why? Is it because the word is different? No, it's the same word. It's the ground that it falls on. The ground that it falls on. What's that ground? What is it that corresponds to the ground in our lives? Look at verse 15 of chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. What corresponds to the soil, to the ground in your life? It's your heart. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a heart that's open to receive the word of God? Or do you have a heart that's hard and stony? And when the word falls on it, it just lies there because you don't give it any entrance into your life. The difference in whether or not you are going to bear fruit for God is what kind of heart do you have. Go over to Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Look at this. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." What I want to draw your attention to in that is, he says, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Daniel set his heart. That means it was a deliberate action on Daniel's part. It wasn't that he was born that way. It wasn't because he grew up in a particular family or in a particular part of town. Daniel set his heart after God. You see, if we're going to have the kind of heart that is fruitful ground, or that will bear fruit when the word is sown in that ground, then we have to set our heart after God. What does that mean? Go over to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." If we're going to have a heart that the word of God can bear fruit in that soil, first of all, we've got to set our heart to love God. Amen? Got to set our heart to love God. Now, what does it mean to love God? Does it mean to have mushy feelings about God? You know, I used to wonder about myself. Because I would think about God, and I would see in the scripture where it says you're supposed to love him. And I would think about God, and I didn't have those mushy feelings about God. And I would wonder, do I really love God? But you know what the scripture talks about? The scripture never says you're supposed to feel a certain way about God. You know what the scripture says? What did Jesus say? If you love me, what do you do? Keep my commandments. The test of your love is not how you feel about God. The test of your love is what you do about God. If you respond to his commandments, if you have put him first, the highest priority in your life, that is love for God. Hallelujah. And guess what? Once you make that determination, that decision, your feelings will follow suit. Yes, I love God. Don't have any doubt about it now. Praise God. Amen. And so you don't start off examining yourself for how I feel. You start off by making the decision, I'm going to put him first in my life. He is number one. So far ahead, number one, there is no number two. And that begins the process of giving you the kind of heart in which the word can find lodging and put down roots and grow up and produce fruit.